blurring. I can understand that, you know, I want my fee that I have to pay to go to my project and not to go to your project. But I would just remind people, it's $5 a year for Oregonians. And it's getting pretty tough to divide that up in too many different ways. The third piece is enforcement. It is based on last year's enforcement. That's the level that we based it on, because that was, as you've heard, the highest that we've had in a long time, and we actually thought, naive us, that we were going to be able to do that again this year, and so we wanted to make sure that you got enforcement at that level.
It might be well to think about the number of years that the commercial fishery shelf poundage fees on crab that has gone to the Department of Fish and Wildlife for their programs and marine program and for enforcement, which also paid for the enforcement for all the sports stuff, and that was free to the sports people.
I'd like to call Mr. Jacobson back up. Bob, could you come up and help us? I recognize what Senator Dukes is saying. You're talking about the co-chairs budget. But there's been a lot of discussion as to percentages and those kind of things since then. Right?
That is correct, Senator Messley. You're looking for a recommendation from me?
Well, just what we understand. I want to get a feel of where we are today.
The reciting from memory, the total Department of Ag testing budget for a biennium is $600,000 or slightly above that. Of that $600,000, they have said all along that $200,000, give or take a few dollars, is spent on recreational shellfish testing, primarily testing the ocean beaches for PSP and domoic acid, PSP being perlyx shellfish poisoning. They've also indicated that they would like to expand some of their testing, recreational testing, into our coastal bays. The in the report that came out of the External Shellfish Advisory Committee, three agencies listed their high option and low option budgets. The high option budget for the Oregon Department of Agriculture at the time that report was prepared was $200,000 to conduct the recreational shellfish testing. This ad hoc group that Senator Shields put together chose that high option of $200,000. It shows the high option for ODFW, and this is all in my cover letter, as I recall, to Senator Shields. It shows the medium option for the Oregon State Police. That total package was about $900,000. And recall that the projections for the biennium, 100,000 diggers, 90,000 residents at $5, 10,000 non-residents at $115, is about $1.2 million, leaving an excess of $300,000. I mentioned in my testimony, and I wasn't part of brokering this deal, but I mentioned in my testimony that there had been an agreement reached among many of the principals, including, I think, Phil Donovan was in part of that discussion, that his group would be willing to support $300,000 coming from the recreational shellfish fees. If the other $300,000 could be found by backfilling some general fund monies, perhaps looking at a small increase on the commercial oyster operators. I don't know where that agreement's at right now. I wasn't part of brokering that, so I guess those are my comments.
Appreciate it. Mr. Chair, members of the subcommittee, if I might just add a little more clarification. As you know, before any bills assigned to subcommittee, the co-chairs discussed the bill and the options for the bill. And when this bill was brought before the co-chairs, we discussed that in the co-chair plan, in their budget plan, they had $410,000 of general fund being backfilled with revenue from a shellfish license fee. and I explained to them that there was some opposition from the recreational supporters of having a high level of the program being funded on with the recreational fees. And the co-chairs had agreed at that time that that they would be willing to reduce the percentages to 50-50, as you've heard discussed here, which would result in about $250,000 of general fund savings. So, in essence, creating about $160,000 hole in the in their general fund plan for the shellfish bill. But they did assign this bill with the understanding that they may not get the general fund savings from it that they had thought they would in their co-chair budget plan.
Mr. Chair.
Senator.
Before we moved a bill out like that, we would have to have serious conversation with our caucuses. We've got folks ready to turn down things that have any general fund in them. Shortfalls, so just to make sure the votes are there.
Representative Johnson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Taking the money pieces of this aside, I understand it. Well, I've heard lots of testimony about people concerned about the allocation. But I think, Mr. Jacobson, it was only you that suggested other numbers, and I just want to make sure that I understood them correctly, that you had suggested 41% OSP, 37% ODFW, and 22% ODA.
Chair Messerly, Representative Johnson. Those numbers come right out of my cover letter to Senator Shield, the letter which accompanied the report from the group to Senator Shields. And you recited those correctly. Oregon State Police would be at a medium option level, 41%. ODFW, a high option level, at 37%. And the Oregon Department of Agriculture, also at a high option level. At least it was high option for them at the time they gave us those figures, of 22%.
Well, Mr. Chair, the point that I'm trying to get to, and I'm doing this math in my head, so I'm doing it kind of quickly, but these are very modest percentage points that we're apart. It seems that there's unanimity that the bill is desirable, in fact, needed. And I'm trying to figure out a way where maybe the chair could allow enough flexibility to quickly see if we could come to some kind of a consensus about the numbers. I would hate to lose the bill for want of, we're 12 percentage points apart on one, 16 on another, and 28 on another, and to watch a very desirable bill vaporize for lack of ability to come together on those small numbers seems to me kind of sad, and I'm just hunting for a way to see if maybe we could negotiate that quickly.
Chair Messerly, Representative Johnson, I guess the primary concern expressed by those individuals I have talked with, and it's been a bunch, say I went to Asbury a couple weeks ago, I met with 15 people up there, a lot of people in the Central Oregon Coast and a few from the Southern Oregon Coast, they're all concerned that their recreational dollars that they paid through their shellfish license are going for commercial certification or testing programs.
May I ask a follow-up, Mr. Chair? One thing that was touched on earlier, and I'd like your reaction, is the possibility that the commercial folks who I think have enjoyed rather historically low fees for inspection, whether there's an option to have them contribute more to drive this process?
Senator Messerly, Representative Johnson, could we call Ron McKay from the Oregon Department of Agriculture up to testify?
In fact, that was my next move.
Yeah.
Mr. McKay?
My name is Ron McKay. I'm the Assistant Administrator of the Food Safety Division at the Oregon Department of Agriculture.
Do you want to make a statement, Mr. McKay, or answer the question?
If I can attempt to answer the question, Senator Messerly, Representative Johnson, the commercial shellfish oyster industry pays us approximately $25,000 a biennium. Should we double that or triple that license fee, that still doesn't quite come up to the amount that we're, the differences that we're looking at.
Follow up, Mr. Chair. Well, I wasn't advocating a particular number. I was just, I was exploring that as a concept to try to hunt for closure, to get a bill that a whole room full of people has said is a good bill. And I'm not sure that your answer necessarily advanced the idea of trying to find a deal.
Mr. Chair, Representative Johnson, we do support the bill. The issue that the Department of Agriculture has is that for the shellfish program, and the recreational and commercial industries are intertwined, but for that shellfish industry to be supported, we need approximately $600,000. There have been a number of figures that have been thrown out here, but that would support both the commercial and the recreational industry.
Mr. Jacobson, and then we'll go to Representative Krieger.
Go ahead.
Bob.
Chair Messerly, Representative Johnson, Mr. McKay could tell you how many oyster growers are involved in oyster growing operations in the state. I can't, but I have looked at the fee schedule for those growers. And one of the areas that I find interesting is that each grower has an upper limit of $500 for licenses for that plant. And maybe I didn't word that exactly right, but in other words, that processing plant, that oyster operation, doesn't pay more than $500 a year to the state for licenses. The one area that I thought you might generate a little bit of income was to remove that $500 cap that currently exists in statute, I believe, from each oyster operation, and perhaps you want Mr. McKay to comment on that.
Mr. Chair, there is a cap on the shellfish licenses. It is set in statute. There is a cap for a industry which grosses less than $60,000 a year, and there is a cap for the industry that generates more than $60,000 a year. The $500 cap is for the industry that generates more than $60,000 a year. And I'm sorry, sir, I don't remember the cap on the lower license. I believe it is $300.
I'm going to go to Representative Krieger and then Representative
Johnson. Mr. Chair. What type of testing would you have to do if the oyster growers weren't even in existence? What type of testing would you have to do to certify the plan beds for sports? How often would you do that? What expenses would you have incurred?
Okay. Mr. Chair, Representative Krieger, if we're not considering the oyster industry, there are mussel samples that we need to collect on the coast because there are people who recreationally take mussels. The majority of the razor clams are on the Clatsop beaches, although they are found in other beaches up and down the coast. But we spend most of our effort on those beaches. And then there are bay clams, both razors and other types of clams that are inside the bays. The amount of testing that needs to be done is something that we'd probably have a number of different opinions on. Currently, we're collecting samples nearly every week from various sites up and down the coast, and those sites vary. We get probably a half a dozen sites every week, and we move those sites around looking for any levels of PSP or domoic acid. When we find an area where the levels begin to elevate, we concentrate our sampling in that area. The testing program, or the amount of money that we're looking at for the program, probably a little more than half of that is just on lab costs. So if we look at what it takes to have safe recreational clamming on the coast, mussels and the clams both on the beaches and inside the bays, we would need at least $200,000. The issues that we've got is someone can look at the amount of samples that we're taking and comment that we should be taking more, that we're not taking enough. And there is no right answer on that. The only part of the program that we have a right answer on is that part that's dictated to us by fish, or excuse me, by Food and Drug. And they say to ship your product interstate, a certain number of samples must be collected at a certain frequency, tested for certain things, and then your product is allowed to move interstate if it meets all of these requirements. For recreational, we try and match much the same as the interstate shellfish program is, but there is no requirement for that.
Okay. Representative Johnson.
I just want to go back to the $500 cap. For plants that, is this a gross or a net figure?
Mr. Chair, Representative Johnson, that is a gross figure.
Senator Dukes.
Just for myself, and I think a lot of the people who go out and recreationally take these things, the Department of Ag does a great job. But it's inadequate to the extent that we've never given them the money to go out and do a lot of it. For example, we don't know what the inventory of clams is in some of the bays, and we don't test the water, so we don't know whether, you know, what these clams are eating and whether it's safe, but we let people go take them. And that has long bothered me. So the program that we have at the Department of Ag, for myself, needs to be enhanced. If we're going to charge people a license, I think they deserve to get to be harvesting a product that we have some reason to believe is safe. And we have the ability to do that through the testing program that exists there. So the numbers that we're talking about, in my opinion, are a little low for the Department of Ag because they need to be able to go out and do this. I mean, this license would apply to people who clammed in bays as well as on beaches.
Okay. Any other questions of the committee? We're just about out of time. If not, we'll close the public hearing and adjourn the committee meeting.
We do have a meeting. Now, I have to tell you that the Rules Committee is doing 362.
Okay.